Would you look at somebody and say, Jesus heals the brokenhearted? Would you tell somebody that? Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. In the midst of the great joy that we experience through this, the beholding the powerful symbols of the season, the star, Jesus said, let there be light in the beginning of time. You know, the beginning when time began. And then now Jesus comes as the light of the world and the star and the illumination of the season through that and leading the wise men to the Christ child. We see the joy of the angels, as we heard about earlier, the multitudes of angels exploding on the scene and the glory that just comes with them as they invade the earth and singing, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and the proclamation. And the shepherds just jump up and go to the manger scene. Oh, and you know what? It's amazing because these were shepherds. Did you know that in Bethlehem, that's where they raised the Passover lambs? Did you know that? That's where they raised the Passover lamb. Did you know when they chose a firstborn lamb, they wrapped the lamb up in swaddling clothes? And when the shepherds heard that lying in the manger, there would be this newborn king wrapped in swaddling clothes, they knew the lamb had come. They knew the lamb had come. Powerful. And in the midst of all the joy and all the things, there's this passage. I want us to look at something here in Matthew 2:16, because Herod comes on the scene, and Herod's the bad guy. Herod is more like the symbol of the satanic work of death. And there are things that come into your and my life that want to wreak death in our life in the midst of joyous seasons. Is that right? You'll have the highs, and then there will come something of an assault or a work of darkness that comes in. And here we have it right in the midst of the story. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, it says this. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. He sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is a massive loss. Massive loss, desperate thing. And they, you know, we see that with this statement is that the heart of a person can be so overwhelmed with loss that they get stuck and they cannot move on. Have you ever experienced something so great, so devastating that you stay stuck in this place? And you don't want to refuse comfort, but it's hard to receive it, isn't it? And that's the thing we want to deal with today, because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus, and the word brokenhearted means to shatter, to break apart. And he comes up to bind up those broken places and to bring healing to it. And the Lord's anointing, he told me this about a month ago. He said, I want you to offer this. I want to touch people. I want to heal them. Where the wounds have happened, where the brokenness has occurred, I want to touch and take these pains and take these things away from my people. Isn't the Lord good? Because he knows the devastating things that have happened in your life. He knows the losses that have occurred in your life. I have a beautiful, beautiful verse. Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Let's say that together. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Would you say it again? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. This is a truth. Oh my God, this is a truth. Also, let's look at Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Would you say that with me? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, I want you to know that this particular passage of Scripture that was quoted in the New Testament, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because there are no more. It comes from Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, the actual caption over the whole chapter is the Lord will turn mourning into joy. And where this is taken from is Rachel cried out. This is, there's two uses of this. Jeremiah pulls both of them into this verse. One of them is Rachel was Jacob and Leah, you know, Leah had babies and Rachel didn't have any kids. You remember the Old Testament story there? And she cried and cried and cried and cried out and cried out and cried out. And to her, not having children was as being as good as dead. Because she had an unmet expectation. And it was tearing her apart. God eventually opened her womb. She had Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Later, the Benjaminites grew up, and their hometown was Ramah. And the second point of this is when the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem, they herded all the Benjaminites into Ramah and carted them off into captivity. There's weeping, Rachel weeping for her children. They've gone off into captivity. How many of you, losses and things that take people into captivity devastate the family? Is that right? We look at losses, a significant person is through sudden death or divorce or incarceration or substance abuse. Things just fracture and break apart the heart. Being abused in some way. I went through that as a child. I won't go through the horrific thing, but after that, with my father, there was a spirit of abuse that entered my life, and I was abused in other situations. It was a cyclic thing, and I'll remember one time being at a retreat, a cleansing spring retreat, and the Lord saying, remember the karate person. And there was a guy that I was in front of all these different kids, and I was the new person, and the karate teacher picked me out of the group and kicked me all over the place, and no instruction, nothing. And I went home and told my parents. I didn't do anything about it. And it was just another sense of great defeat. I'm like, what's wrong? And the Lord says, I'm going to take the pain away from you. And it was with what we're going to do today. It was the pouring of water over my hands and putting on my heart and a supernatural work of God taking the pain of that abuse out of my life. And that never happened again. That cycle was broken. And the Lord says, I want to put an end to the things that keep devastating your life. I want to put an end to the things that cause you to suffer unnecessarily, because sometimes there's a chain of events to happen, isn't that right? And sometimes, how come this happens? I don't want it to happen, but sometimes it just keeps coming back. And the Lord wants to relieve the pain of that and the whole cycle of that from your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, see? He came, he understands that. He's near to the people who are just end up in situations crushed over and over and over. His heart goes out. He sees the need there, and he has means by which to bring wholeness to you and me. Praise God, and I'm a recipient of that wholeness. I think we have another verse that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Is that true? What amazing chunk of revelation that is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You have an expectation that things are going to work out a certain way and they don't. You have an expectation for a relationship that'll be good or a job or something and it doesn't work out and suddenly your heart gets into a place of sickness. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I don't have stuff on the overhead for this, but I just want to mention that in this Jeremiah 31, when they say and they refuse to be comforted, there is hope in the rest of that because of the concept of we're going to turn mourning into joy. There's a declaration to the people that says there's a hope in your future. God begins to say there's a hope in your future to break the cycle of I can't be comforted. Isn't that something? Here you say, I refuse comfort, and the Lord says, oh, but there's a hope in your future. He comes, and on the one side is the negative thing where you feel like you'll never get over it, and God says, oh, no, I'm the one who has a hope for your future. Just go ahead and receive that. Just say, thank you for the hope that my future will improve and be better. I want to read aloud to you and then tell you some stories and stuff, because this is really not a super long message. Listen to this, guys. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. Listen to this very carefully. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he has anointed me. This is Isaiah 61. He says, to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let's just worship the Lord and thank him for his promise. Hallelujah. Because there is consolation in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. There's a delivering from captivity in Jesus. Things that have been stolen from you are restored in some way. The Lord makes up the difference. I was chatting with someone this morning about how things would go wrong early in life and God makes up for it somehow. But with his touch, with his grace, with his capacity, there's something of his fullness that begins to come around a person who's had so much stolen from them. And there's a remarkable thing. Risa here works in her job is delivering babies. She's always delivering babies. What a job. And we were talking about sometimes when there's that lady that they tried to abort her and they tried to abort her. She has a ministry now. They tried to kill her, but she didn't go through with the death of it. And now the Lord has put such an anointing on her to speak about life. God makes up the difference. He gives an empowering passion in a people and talks about the true life that can happen through a person. It's incredible. Praise you, Jesus. So, how do we go about this? And today I want to do something. It's real simple. It's something that I learned a while back, but the Lord has refined it with me. In a little while, we're going to put a bowl up here. And then there's a pitcher. And the pitcher will have some water in it. And we're going to invite you to pour the water over your hands and to put it over your heart and allow the Lord to do a miracle. So, well, Pastor, where is that in the Bible? Let me explain. Naaman was a commander of the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. And he went to visit Elisha. And Elisha sent word through his messenger to Naaman, you go down to the Jordan River, and you dip in there 7 times, and the leprosy will leave you. He sent him to dip in water. And he did it. And when he dipped in water 7 times, he came up and he was leprosy free. Amen. The Lord uses water. Jesus himself had a man that was blind. And what he did is he rubbed some mud and he anointed his eyes. This man says, how did you get healed? He says, well, this Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes. He said to me, go to Siloam. And I went and I washed. And I received my sight. The Lord uses water. I asked the Lord this myself about this. I was in a church ministering, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say about the bowls of water? And he spoke just instantly to me. He says, Roger, when I wanted to start over with the whole planet, I flooded it. I flooded it. I used water. I flooded it. When I want to start over with the human heart, I flood it. I flood it. How does he do this? He says, well, there's 1 John 5:7-8 says, for there are three that testify, the spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree, the spirit, the water, and the blood. The Holy Spirit comes, just like when you're baptized. I love it. Oh, this incredible testimony going down in the water, and the Holy Spirit makes alive the power of the blood. The three agree. They agree together. You go down just recently, one of our precious saints in the room here, new in the Lord, got baptized. And within 1-2 seconds of going down under the water, God took her spirit into the heavens. And the moment she came out of the water, she goes, I just went to heaven and came back. And you could feel the glory just when the power of those words just came out and it hit you. Wow. And God just sealed the work. He says, I'm going to release the eternal power of the revelation of who I am into this precious soul. And I'm doing it with water. I'm going to dip you in the water. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 and 26 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Listen to this. And you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you from all your idols. And then he says, and I, in the same breath, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put that within you. And I will remove the heart of stone. And I will put in a heart of flesh. I was in Riverside, California. I was invited by a pastor named Garland to be at a fire camp. There were about 200 men had gathered that day. And the evening, he'd provided a band, and I had my songs and my guitar. And my buddy went out in the woods, and he found this great big old rock, and it was shaped like a heart. And I was standing outside on an amphitheater, and all these guys are sitting in the seats, and they're all just, you know, everybody's lined up. There were speakers throughout the day, and there were all kinds of activities and stuff. And Garland really builds this thing up. He goes, now, everything just happened today. This is the most important thing. And I'm sitting there starting to sweat bullets, like, oh, the pressure's on, you know. Because I can't do it. I can't make any of this happen. My friend brings this big heart-shaped rock. I said, what turns a heart into stone? And I dropped it on the amphitheater. Boom, you know. People can have all kinds of things that devastate their hearts and make them hard. Isn't that true? When a heart is broken, it can be so hardened. It's like, I'm never going to open up. I'm never going to share life. And you end up so hard in life. So hardened. The deceitfulness of sin will harden the heart, the Bible says. The deceitfulness of sin hardens the heart. He says, and I will take out the heart of stone, and I will put in a heart of flesh. And I asked these men, you know, we had some water, and they were pouring it on their hands. And each of the men came one at a time, and they poured the water on their hands. And I'm telling you, this was the most beautiful thing. It really gets me, because they were treating it as if it was liquid gold. They were like, they didn't want one drop to fall. They just wanted to run, and all of them got it right on their heart. And I'm singing my songs, you know, God is my redeemer. And nothing's happening except these guys are treating this incredible, like precious, precious ointment. You know, it's water. But the supernatural effect, because the spirit and the blood are agreeing with it. And now they all get back to their seats. And I'm going, in my heart, I'm going, when's it going to happen, Lord? And suddenly, when the last person sat down, it was as if the heaven opened right above everybody, and suddenly the power of God just fell upon the group all at one time. Kaboom! And they started wailing, weeping, and falling on each other, and crying, and pouring out their hearts. We're into like half an hour, just guys holding each other, just crying and crying and crying and crying and releasing and releasing. And I'm just sitting there singing my songs, looking at this massive miracle. And then Garland says, okay, we're going to have some testimonies. And these guys start testifying. And one of them says, my uncle used to abuse me when I was 6 years old. And all that pain's gone instantly. And it was one after another. My dad, I've been in prison. I was raped in prison. And I got in there because of this, whatever. And every single one of them, horrific, horrific, horrific pain. And everybody, and Jesus took all the pain away. And their faces were like light bulbs. And there's like, I'm just shocked at all the dimensions of hurt and the depth of hurt. And the instantly gone just by simply taking the water, putting on the heart, and God moving and working in them. Amen. I was overwhelmed. And the next day, I was going to preach in Garland's church, and he had on his campus there in his house, behind his house, he had a place called the Hacienda where people could come out of jail and go and live in the Hacienda. It was like a halfway house before, you know, they could get jobs and live there and build back up and relate to society. And there was a fellow there, and he was from the FBI. And I'm thinking, how's an FBI agent in the Hacienda? And Sunday morning, before going to church, he comes up to me and says, hey, yesterday I just wanted to tell you, you don't know this, but a few years ago, my wife and my 6 children were all killed instantly in a car wreck. And yesterday when you had us put the hands in the water, God took all that pain away.
this is miraculous. This is extraordinary. This is amazing. We were in Mansfield, Ohio, a few weeks back, and I invited the people forward. Todd was with me, and John and Amanda, and that was the Friday night. On Saturday morning, I said, there's some testimonies, and this lady, who was part of a worship team from another church, wanted to testify. She said, I was raped when I was 17, and I had learned to forgive, and I had forgiven the man, and I've been married all these years. And I think it's 30, 35 years have already gone by, and the man who did the rape had already passed away. And she said, I had forgiven him, but when I put my hands in the water, she said, all the pain of the rape left. First of all, I want to say, don't let what's behind you help make you miss what's before you. God has some things ahead for you. And right now, since I've been talking, there's things that, you know, I want to invite you to come and just, tell you what, would you be so kind and stand with me just for a moment? I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. Is that all right? Can I have your agreement with that? This is a prayer that will help you release forgiveness. That's important, isn't it? Being a forgiving person. So this is the simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I submit my heart to you. And it is my will that your forgiveness flow through me to those who have hurt me. I choose to be a forgiving person. And I release the power of your forgiveness through me. Say amen. Now say, Jesus, I repent for anything that I know of or don't know of that I have done to accommodate or cooperate with this hurtful place within me. Jesus, I renounce all agreements with the adversary and any lies I have believed that would hold my heart back from your healing. Jesus, I invite you into the broken place within me. This wound, this memory, I give you total access to my heart. Come, Lord, shine your light here. Reveal to me all that is going on here. Come and heal me in this place. Jesus, I receive your healing power into my heart, and I release all loss to you in Jesus' name. I'm going to just stand here and sing but I want to invite anybody who wants to come down. Heather, would you pour the water? Anybody who wants to come now, say, I'm stepping out and I'm going to receive healing. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I chose to remind you, but for those tears I died. Hallelujah. Just let the Lord release it. Let him release it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In your presence, your holy presence. He takes out the heart of stone. He puts in a heart of flesh. Praise the Lord. Melt away.
for you. Do miracles. And you do wonders. There's healing in your presence, O Lord. There's healing in your presence, O Lord. In your presence, O Lord, your holy presence burns all over.